As you read Philippians chapter 4, there are some great things there to help us in our Christian life, to help us have a spiritually stable life as we look at this book and as we learn from the book. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 4, Paul writes about unity. In verse 4, he writes about the fact that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, again, I say rejoice. In verse 6, Paul tells us that we should not be anxious, but rather we should be prayerful and we should be thankful. Let me read you verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In verse 8, now Paul talks about the thought life of the believer. The Bible has a lot to say about how we should think as believers in the Lord Jesus. Go back to Proverbs. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." How do you think? What are you thinking today? What is your thought life like? In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." It's a real temptation for us to be focused on earthly things rather than heavenly things. In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul tells us some of the things that we should be thinking about. Let me read the verse here. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be meditating on what is true. Look at it again. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true." We need to meditate on the truth. Where do we find the truth in the world today? We find it in the Word of God. And you and I have got to be people of the Word. There are so many worldly philosophies that are given to us today. We need to come against the worldly philosophies with the Word of truth. Amen. Jesus tells us what is truth in John 17. John 17, verse 16, talking about his disciples, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." The psalmist spoke about the truth. In Psalm 119, verse 151, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." Every believer in the Lord Jesus needs to read the truth, meditate on the truth, and act out the truth. We are different from unbelievers because you and I have the book of God's law, the book that separates us from the unbeliever, the book that tells us about salvation, the book that tells us about redemption, the book that tells us about sanctification. We have the book, and you and I are to be separated by the truth. If you want to prosper in life, you need to be in the Word of God. Remember when Joshua was at the River Jordan and Moses had died? And the Lord spoke to Joshua. And the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he said to him that his success would be in relation to the truth. Joshua 1 verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua's success was in relation to how he kept and heard and obeyed the word of God. Israel was going to cross the river Jordan, and they were going to go into the land of Canaan, where there were those giants and the walled cities, and they had a lot of enemies. But their success was not related to their weapons. Their success was related to the fact that they took in God's word, they obeyed God's word, they believed God's word, and they went forward in God's word. Adrian Rogers, a preacher of the past, says this: is the thought you are having right now true? Can you rely on it? We live in a generation today that doesn't ask, is it true? Instead, we ask, does it work? Don't let anything consciously dwell in your mind that isn't true. Don't dwell on it. Don't entertain it. Don't let it be a part of your thought patterns if it is not true. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We can have a sound mind as you and I submit to the word of God. Every thought that we have, the scriptures tell us, every thought needs to be captive to the obedience of Christ. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When I was at theological college, I had to bring every thought into obedience to Christ. When I listened to lecturers, I had to say, is this true, what they're saying, according to the word of God? You might be surprised, but theological colleges can be very dangerous at times for people's spiritual health. And there are numbers of people that have been to theological colleges, and some of them, their faith has been shipwrecked because they've listened to people at theological college where they've gone to hear the truth, and they've listened to people that have not told the truth. When I was at theological college, there were lecturers that did not believe in the creation accounts. I'd gone there to be a minister, to learn the word of God, and you wouldn't expect that you would have theological lecturers that would deny the word of God. If you're looking to go to theological college, make sure you go to the right one. Make sure you go to one that actually believes in creation. Make sure you go to one that denies evolution. Make sure you go to one that emphasises the holiness that we should have as believers. Make sure you go to a college that tells the truth. I had to discern the truth. In actual fact, everyone has to discern the truth. If you are listening to me today, you need to line up what I say by the word of God. That's exactly what the Bereans did. Way back in Isaiah 8 verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." We've got to be careful. It doesn't matter whether you're in church or in a theological college. If the person preaching is not speaking according to the word of God, then you need to throw out what they say. You need to trust God's word. All of us should be like the Bereans that are mentioned in the book of Acts. Acts 17 verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." The Berean believers in Paul's day, it didn't matter whether it was the Apostle Paul or someone else that was teaching them, they checked up what they said by the word of God. They checked up to see if they were telling the truth. And Paul says they were more noble than the Thessalonians. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We've got a warning in the scriptures about the latter days. And I believe that we are living in the latter days. And the latter days are going to be characterized by a departure from the truth. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, he said, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." So in the last days there's going to be a departure from truth. And we've seen that dramatically in the last 10 years. The truths that society was built on, and Australian society, if you think, we have been blessed in this nation because of the word of God. But the truths that our society has been built on, Western society, are gradually being taken away, are gradually being ridiculed and condemned. God's word is truth. We need to meditate on the truth. We need to be aware that there are false prophets that are denying the truth. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs, or thistles?" In Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" There are going to be people that are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are going to be people that are departing from the truth. There are going to be preachers that are prophesying in the name of the Lord Jesus, yet they're false. And Jesus will say, "I never knew you." Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, the next thing he talks about is whatever things are noble. The King James Version of the Bible says the word honest there for noble. Do you meditate on things that are honourable or noble in your life? Or do you meditate on things that are dishonourable? David Guzak says this, "We are not helpless victims or recipients of our thoughts. We can choose to stop our thoughts and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Thoughts of lust, thoughts of anger, thoughts of fear, thoughts of greed, Bitter thoughts, evil thoughts, they are part of every thought that may be and must be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Are our thoughts noble thoughts? Are our thoughts true thoughts? The next thing he mentions is the word just. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just. Now remember Paul's situation here. He's a prisoner of Rome. He's probably chained to a guard 24 hours a day. What could he have thought about those Roman guards? He could have had unjust thoughts about them. He could have thought, how dare you imprison me? How terrible it is to be chained to one of these ungodly men. He could have had unjust thoughts towards the guards. Well, Paul looked at them as men that were lost, as men that were sinners, as men that needed the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Paul had just thoughts to those who kept him captive. And Paul even reached out, I believe, to as many as he could possibly in Rome with the good news of the gospel. And he had some success, I believe, in Nero's household. If you look at Philippians 1 verse 12, he says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. In Philippians 4:21, he says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Somehow, some way, the Apostle Paul got the gospel into Nero's household. Nero was the Caesar at the time. And could it be that he talked to those guards that he was chained with? Could it be he witnessed to these ungodly men? I believe the Apostle Paul had just thoughts towards those soldiers, towards those that kept him captive. And the Apostle Paul reached out and was able to reach people in Caesar's household. The gospel had penetrated even into the household of Caesar. Let's have a look at another word here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, we're to think on these things. The word pure there means free of contamination. We live in an impure world, definitely an impure world, but we have the pure word of God. And it's easy for the impurity to take hold of us. We need to be on guard. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Do you allow impure thoughts to come into your mind? Do you dwell on impure thoughts? Do you allow impure television to come into your living room? David Frost used to be on the TV years ago, and he said this of television. Television is an invention that permits you to be entertained in your living room by people you would not have in your home. Good saying. Television is an invention, that permits you to be entertained in your living room by people you would not have in your home. What sort of thoughts, what sort of programs are you watching? Are those programs profitable for your thoughts? Are those programs about adultery and lying and cheating? What are the programs like that you watch? If I asked, if we took the program today and we opened up the TV program and I went through the list from Monday to Sunday and said, who watches this show? Who watches that show? I wonder how many people would put up their hands in watching things that are ungodly. Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. How is the TV making you think? Someone wrote this poem about the TV. On the table side by side, the Holy Bible and the TV guide. One is well worn but cherished with pride, not the Bible but the TV guide. One is used daily to help folk decide. No, it isn't the Bible, it's the TV guide. As pages are turned, what shall we see? Oh, what does it matter? Turn on the TV. Then confusion reigns. They can't all agree on what they shall watch on the old TV. So they open the book in which they confide. No, not the Bible, it's the TV guide. The Word of God is seldom read. Maybe a verse ere they fall into bed, exhausted and sleepy and tired as can be, not from reading the Bible, from watching TV. So then back to the table, side by side, is the Holy Bible and the TV guide. No time for prayer, no time for the word. The plan of salvation is seldom heard. Forgiveness of sin, so full and free, is found in the Bible, not on TV. The Bible and the TV guide. One is more worn in that house. By and large, what we see produced for the TV is not godly. By and large, it is ungodly today. By and large, it's not great Christian programs. There are some good Christian programs, not all good. Not all Christian programs are good. Some are apostate, some are false teaching. But by and large, what the TV presents to us today in Australian society is not good for your thinking. In actual fact, it's stinking thinking that comes a lot from the TV. What does the Bible say? Well, and when Paul wrote to the Romans, he wanted to make sure that the Romans' minds were transformed. And he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our minds and our bodies are to be holy. And he goes on in verse 2 and he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. How is our mind transformed? It's transformed by the word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The TV will transform your mind, but not how God wants it. It's the word of God that transforms our mind. We live in such an evil day today that our minds are under attack by every form of media. Impurity is flooding the TV. It's flooding the newspapers. Impurity is flooding the magazines, the movies, the video games, the internet, the social media, and even our educational institutions. You know, there's an attempt, even in some preschools, to corrupt the minds of children on family values. We are under attack, but it's the Word of God, which is the truth that we need to hold to, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is our weapon in the apostate days that we live in. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We need to meditate on what is true, on what is noble, on what is just, on what is pure, on what is lovely, and what is of a good report. Now, I looked up the word lovely there. The word lovely here means causing you to love. What thoughts do you have that cause you to move out and love others? We have an example of the Lord Jesus. His love caused him to move out of the halls of heaven and to come down to this sinful earth and to end up on a cross at Calvary for the sins of the world. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." So Jesus preached the truth so that they might know the truth and so that they might live the truth. "Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." The Lord Jesus moved out in love with compassion towards the lost. Do we have thoughts that cause us to move out and love the lost? To move out and reach the lost? Are our thoughts lovely towards the lost? The Lord Jesus saw the poor condition of mankind in his day, and he did something about it. The believer in Christ must major on good thoughts, not evil thoughts. And good thoughts come as we meditate on God's word. Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Right thinking results in right living. Right thinking results in right living for today, and right living and right thinking help us to have a wonderful future. You know, each of us here are building for eternity. We're going to be put in the grave one day, or taken off to the crematorium. But we are preparing now for eternity. And our preparation must begin in the mind. You know what the word repent means? The word repent means a change of mind. When we give people the good news of the gospel and they accept Jesus as Saviour, they actually repent. There's a change of mind, and the change of mind results in a change of action. How beautiful it is to receive the good news of the gospel, because the good news of the gospel brings us to a place where there is right thinking. Right thinking happens when we take in the Word of God, we trust the Word of God, and then we live out the Word of God will give us right living. Right thinking comes as our minds are shaped by the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul tells us here, we can have a stable Christian life if we look at chapter 4, and if we think on the things that Paul tells us to think upon, our lives can be changed, and then we can change others' lives with the good news of the gospel. Right thinking results in right living.